Get your Bible this morning and turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, I'll tell you right now, the title of my sermon this morning, it's called, Don't Look Back. Don't Look Back. Hebrews chapter 12. Once you've found Hebrews 12, find verse number 1 and then stand with me if you would please. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, look for verse 1, and then let's stand together. I'm going to read the passage out loud, and you can follow along very, very carefully and silently. And then let me remind you of something. If you have a cell phone with you, that's fine. I'm glad for you to have it, but you need to make sure it doesn't ring during our service. That way the service is not interrupted. Also, it's very frustrating to me when I'm preaching and I look out and I look at people looking at their cell phone. If you're checking to see what the stock market's doing, it may be that God will just make your stock go in the toilet because you're playing with that thing during church. And so pay close attention. Can you imagine in the last generation they were able to do it without a cell phone? And so we can do it. Hey, and young people, boys and girls, everybody, let's pay attention to the preaching of the Word of God. Very, very important. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse number 1. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Help nothing to stop the sermon from accomplishing the purpose that you planned for it. I pray, God, that no one's mind would wander. I pray that no one would frustrate themselves or others with their behavior during the service. I pray, God, that each of us would open our hearts and minds to you and to you only. Help us put the cares of the world aside. The worries that we brought with us, could we just set them aside long enough to let the Word of God make an impact on our lives? Holy Spirit of God, minimize the distractions. Please help us that we would concentrate just for a little while on the book that you wrote and the message that you have for us today, please. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. The entire chapter of Hebrews 12 deals with a race. Paul, the writer, had an interest, and if you looked at Paul's writings in Hebrew, he had an interest in the Olympic-type games that would go on in that day. And Paul is likening the Christian life to a race. He's talking about our running the race that is set before us. So it's an example. He said, I'm going to compare the Christian life to the running of a race. And you and I are running the race. And then Paul began to talk about the spectators that were up in the stands. And it's very interesting. There are those that are witnessing the race that you and I are running. So I want you to picture yourself. You're out on the track. And you're running around that track. He then lists in Hebrews 12 who the people are that are sitting in the stands watching this race. He told us in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse number 7, he told us that Noah was sitting up in the stands and watching. In Hebrews 11, 8, he told us that Abraham was up in the stands and watching. Ushers, just help this fellow to find a seat back there. They'll get you a seat. And look right this way, if you will, please. And by the way, ushers, that's why you're back there by that door, is just to make sure that people don't interrupt the service. So Noah is seen in the stands watching. And then Abraham is seen up in these stands watching. And then it tells us in Hebrews 11:23 that Moses is up there in the stands watching. Joshua, according to Hebrews 11, verse number 30, is up in the stands watching. Gideon is up in the stands watching this race. Hebrews 11:32 tells us that Gideon is one of the fans, if you will, that's watching you run your race as a Christian. Jephthah is found up in the stands. And some of you might not know who that is. I'll explain it in a minute. But Jephthah is up there in the stands watching you and I run the Christian race. Daniel, he's up in the stands, according to Hebrews 11, verse number 33. He's watching the race. Now, folks, we're not just to start the race, but we're to finish the race. And we're not to be quitters along the way. We're in a race. The race is the Christian life. Now, I don't know about you, but I think if I knew that those people were watching me run the race, I would want to give my best running the race. Those are pretty powerful spectators. Oh, there are many others. There are people that you know that have passed away, and in heaven they watch us run our Christian race, if you will. I got to thinking about some of those people, and I thought of Noah. He's watching me run that race. Now, you understand, Noah stood alone in his day. And I mean, he really stood alone in his day. Abraham, he's watching us run the race. You know that he left home and he left his family to be in God's will. And you know, when he left, he didn't even know where God was going to take him. The Bible says that Abraham went to a land that he did not even know of because God said, Abraham, pack your duds. I'm going to have you go somewhere. And Abraham said, yes, sir. Abraham said, where are we going? God said, you're just going to have to trust me. Pack your duds. We're heading out. He is watching you and I run our race. Moses is watching us run our race. He's the one that could have become the king of Egypt, and he gave it all up to suffer affliction with God's people. Moses was reared in the king's household, and really, he could have been the heir of an entire kingdom, but he said, no, I'm going to stick with God. And they said, if you're going to stick with God, we're going to kick you out, and you're going to go from being the richest, having the richest inheritance in history, you're going to go to being a poor man because you're going to stand with God. He's up there watching you and I run our race. So I've got Noah up there. He's watching me run my Christian race. And Abraham's up there watching me run my Christian race. And Moses is up there watching me run my Christian race. You've got Joshua up there. You remember Joshua in the Battle of Jericho? Wow, they march around the city 7 times and the walls come tumbling down. He's watching you and I run our race. You understand, folks, we're on the racetrack. God and God's people are watching how you and I run our race. Now, some of you, you just lay around on the racetrack, and there's some of you, you stand out there and talk on the racetrack, but you're to be running a race for God. Paul said, you are running a race in your Christian life. Some of you, you're running the wrong way on the track. It'd be good for you to turn around and get to heading in God's direction. Hey, Gideon is up in the stands watching you and I run the Christian race. Gideon is the one that had the war with the Midianites. And he started out with 32,000 men. There were so many enemy, they couldn't even count them all. Gideon, the good guy, he had 32,000 men. And God said, Gideon, you have too many men. That doesn't make sense to you, and it doesn't make sense to me. If the enemy has so many people, you can't count them all, and God says, Gideon, your 32,000 is too many, I'm going to whittle it down a few. And Gideon said, okay, God, if you want to get rid of a few of them, you can. Do you understand that God made it so all the men that he had left working on Gideon's army were 300? 32,000 to 300 is a pretty good whittle down. But God gave the victory, and understand, according to Hebrews chapter 11, Gideon's watching you and I run the race. And not only that, Jephthah. You say, who is Jephthah? Jephthah is a man that was close to God. And one day he said to God, God, if you give me a victory in my life in a battle, and I think it was with the Amorites, I will give you the first thing that steps out of my house when I get home from battle. Jephthah thought that a goat or a sheep or a calf or something would come forth from his house. And he said, I'm going to give you, I will sacrifice to you the first thing that comes out of my house. And when he got home, it was his daughter that came out of his house. You talk about a man that was sacrificial. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son for God at one point. These are the people that are watching us run the race. You know, Daniel is up there watching us run the race. He's the one that stops the mouths of lions. Incredible. Now, folks, I want you to stop and realize something. There is a heavenly host of people that watch you and I run our race. And you know, as you're running the Christian race, it wouldn't hurt every once in a while for you to look up in the stands and realize the people that are up in the stands are not mamby-pamby, baby, whiny Christians. There are some Christians that went through an awful lot to stand for God. They were not spoiled brats. They were not weak. There's some pretty strong Christians up there. And so you all know, Those that are up there in the stands, they're rooting for you. They're rooting for you. And I got to tell you, I'm sure every once in a while one of them want to stand up and say, get going! Run! Don't just stand there! Okay, you're going to have a hard time looking up the stands when there's a Daniel up there that got thrown in a lion's den and came through that because of his powerful faith. When you say, oh, well, I've got a little bit of a blister on my big toe and I just don't think I can run the Christian race anymore. And Daniel's saying, a blister on your toe? Come on! I would have to say to you, the Christianity of our day is anemic to those that are sitting in the stands that the whole world turned on Noah and he kept on serving God. Folks, we're running a race. And they're watching us run the race. And again, there are some of us, you're sitting on the sidelines. Some of you are running the racetrack the wrong way. Some of you already packed your bags and you're heading home to mama. You're not going to serve God anymore. Oh my. We're running a race. He begins to talk about that race. If you were listening to what was said, it said, wherefore, seeing we are all also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Now, he's saying if you're running a race, you need to get the weights off of you so you can run that race well. You know, when you run a race, you don't wear snow boots. When you run a race, you're not going to wear a heavy wool coat and gloves, and you're not going to wear a toboggan or a hat. You're not going to that's not what you're going to wear. Now, those things it would not be wrong for you to run a race with a heavy wool coat on. Just wouldn't be smart, right? I mean, makes sense. You lighten up what you do. Could I recommend something to all of you? Are there things in your life where you're trying to run the Christian race, and they're not necessarily sinful things. They're just things that keep you from running the race. You know, one of the big problems with Christians are, if it's not a sin, they'll go do it. But can I tell you something? There are some things that you and I could do that are not sinful, but they keep us from serving God. They keep us from running the race. What are you doing that's not sinful, but it keeps you from serving God? What are you doing that's not a sin, but it causes you to miss too much church? You don't go soul winning. You're not a part of a ministry. And it's not because you're out doing bad. You're just so busy wearing your wool coat, your snow boots, your toboggan, your gloves, and your scarf. It's not sinful. You're just weighed down. Matter of fact, it wouldn't be sinful. Brother Edwards, stand up for a second. If he were running a race, I said, Brother Edwards, I want to have you run a race. Carry this chair. Did you know there's nothing wrong with him carrying the chair during the race? But I'm sure you would all agree it'd be kind of stupid, wouldn't it? You'd say, get rid of that. So come on back over here, Speedy Gonzalez. Yeah, you can just put that down. That chair's not sinful, but it's just not smart. And there are people under the sound of my voice. You don't serve God not because you're doing something sinful. You don't serve God because you're doing other things. You just don't have time for God. You don't make time for God. And he said, lay aside the weights. That wasn't sinful. Oh, then he goes on, and he's talking about the running of the race. He said, let us lay aside every weight. Then he says, and in addition to that, the sin which doth easily beset us. Huh. Well, what's that mean? He said, maybe you ought to get rid of some of the things that are not necessarily bad. They're just not good for a runner. He said, and then you need to get rid of the sin that would easily get you off course or would easily weigh you down. You know, if you were really a runner, you would find out runners don't do real good if they smoke. Runners don't do real good. If you go out and get drunk all the time, you're not going to make a good runner. Runners that do drugs aren't going to do real good. You party all night before you run your race, you're not going to do real good. Matter of fact, they'll even tell you to watch out your relationship with the opposite sex, because if you give your energy to something that you should not right before you run a race, you won't have the energy to run the race. Well, what's that? How could we learn from that? Well, the smoking, the drinking, the cussing, the chewing, and the immorality will keep you from running the race that God has for you to run. And so there are some things that are not bad that we do that keep us from running the race. There are some things that we do that are bad that can keep us from running the race. Then he said, run the race with patience. You say, what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean what we might think it means. What it really means is you run the race and don't give up. You persist in running the race. Now, look, If you're running along and you fall down, we might not be able to keep from stumbling. But can I tell you something? If you stumble, get up. Get up and run the race. There are people in this room, you fell down while running the Christian race weeks, months, some years ago, and you never have gotten up. You lay there, and there have been generations of Christians that have passed you on that track over and over and over again. You're still laying there. I got knocked down. I stumbled. Hey, whether you got knocked down or maybe someone knocked you down or you knocked you down, get up and start running that race. He said, get rid of the weights. That's non-sinful things. It just keeps us from serving God. Then he said, get rid of the sin. Those are things that will definitely keep you from serving God. And then he said, and do it with patience. In other words, keep going. Don't give up. You may be behind a little bit, but you'll catch up. Just don't give up. I got to tell you one of the things that can be real hard on you when you're running a race. And this is the main purpose of my sermon today. I ran when I was in high school. I did some running on our high school track team. We had a cross-country team. 1977, I ran a marathon. I decided not to run another one. But the high school that I went to, we had a 2.5 mile cross-country course in a distant city, and I had made it to our county cross-country meet. And I was to run that race, and I had a lot of stamina. I did quite well most of the time when I would run. Now, I never went further than my county track meet. That tells you I wasn't a real pro at it, but in my county I could run, and I ran quite well. I remember we started the race 2.5 miles long, and I knew that I was out in front on our race, and I ran and I ran and I ran. Something that happened. I knew I was far enough ahead. Everything was going smooth. I knew where that last half mile marker was. So I knew there were 2 miles behind me. I only had a half mile to run, and it was smooth. And I knew I was going to get the checkered flag, and I knew that I was going to come in first place. So man, I'm working along and I'm running, and there's something that I had been taught not to do. And I do not know why I did this, but I mean, I was within, maybe 10 yards of the finish line. And I knew I was way out in front. There, I couldn't hear anybody. I heard everyone saying, yeah, Owens, yeah. And I'm thinking, this is it. I've got it. So I decided it would be a good idea for me to turn around and see how far behind me all those other suckers were. So I'm running along, and I begin to lose my balance a little bit. I thought it's worth it. I'm far enough ahead that I'm still going to win my race. So I turned around to look. Sure enough, there's nobody behind me. Because when I turned to my left to see who was behind me, the guy that was on my heels went past me on the right. So I looked back and I thought, yeah, there's nobody back there. And I turned around, and all I could see is his backside going across the finish line in first place. And my coach had a talk with me. He came over and he said, I thought I told you never look back. You give everything you have. You go forward. You just lost a race because you look back, son. You look back. You go forward. Go forward. You lost the race because you looked back. I was humiliated, and I needed to be. I'll tell you something. I never forgot that lesson. I never forgot that lesson. Can I tell you all something in the Christian life? Don't look back. There's some of you, you look back at things, and you're going to lose a part of your race because you look back. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? For instance, I think you ought to be careful not to look back at your past defeats. Don't look back at your past defeats. Quit looking at your past failures. So what am I supposed to look at? You look out into the future. Stop looking at losses and start looking at future victories. Stop looking at what fell apart back there and start looking for what God wants to build in the future. I love the bus ministry. I was a bus captain bringing little boys and girls to church for a long time. One day I was on my bus, and I had a kid that he told me, he said, hey, Brother Owens, I'm not feeling very well. I think I'm going to puke. I said, okay, son, I'll help you. Let me grab the trash can. I went to grab the trash can and it was too late. I mean, blah, man, he let her fly. And immediately I said to him, don't look at it. Go sit down. You know what he did? He looked at it. You know what he did then? He let her fly again. Right? Hey, if somebody pukes around you, if I'd recommend a couple things, don't look at it and get your nose as far away as you can. You say, why? Because it starts a chain reaction. And you all say, preacher, that makes sense. Well, let me tell you something. Look, if you puked in the past, in life, and you made a mess on yourself, and you didn't handle something right, and you messed something up, could I recommend that you not look at it? Get your eyes set on the prize. Decide that out in the future, God has something wonderful for you. Hey, your past failures will discourage you. Past failed relationship, stop looking at them. So you lost your temper yesterday. Decide God's going to give you victory today. So you made some bad financial decisions in the past. Let's rebuild now and in the future. So you fell into sin in the past. Get up and go serve God today. Wasted years. Hey, if you're not careful, you say, I've wasted so many years of my life. Preacher, I wish I was like some of these young people around here that they get to serve God in their youth. But let me tell you something. You can't be one of those young people. You have to be who you are, but you are to live every day for the rest of your life for God. But there are people here that say, I wasted my youth. My youth is behind me. And now you just sit there in the mully grubs because you wasted your youth. Hey, you've got life ahead of you to live. Stop looking at your wasted youth and decide from here on out you're going to serve God. Don't look back. Don't look back. Don't look back at those past defeats. Leave your past in the past. Leave the behind behind you. Hey, don't let past failures steal your today's victories. Don't let your yesterday's discouragement steal your today's joy. I think we make a mistake because we look at our past defeats and they paralyze us. They humiliate us. They cause us to feel a failure and we lose the victory that God has for us today. I say to you, don't look back at those past defeats. But secondly, could I recommend that you don't look back too much at your past victories? At your past victories. You say, what? Mm-hmm. Folks, some of you, the only thing you have to talk about in your Christian life today is what you did years ago. Because you're not doing anything today. Some of you, it's always, I remember back. I remember back. Well, I remember back. What's gone? And it's past. And you know something? Your past defeats can destroy your today's victories. But wait a minute. Your past victories, if you're not careful, could also rob you of new victories that God has for your life. Hey, don't claim yesterday's victories as adequate for today. You used to be a soul winner. Used to be. You used to be a bus worker. You used to bring visitors to church. You used to be very involved and very active. You used to be a Sunday school teacher. You used to be productive for God. If I recommend something, stop looking at what you used to be for God. You better take a good long look at what you are now. My coach, I'm glad I grew up in a generation where coaches still coached. Today they're scared to death. Everybody's got to be a winner. I've got news for you. Everybody's not a winner in life. I mean, you still got to suffer defeat. You're still going to go through times when you lose the game and you got to sucker up and take it, buddy. And I'm glad my coach said to me, you shouldn't have looked back.
that you look back and you lost because you look back. If you would have given me everything you had all the way to the finish line, you would have been a winner. But you're a loser, not because you didn't have what it took, but because you looked back. I was humiliated. I cannot tell you how it felt to look back and think, woohoo, got it, to turn around and see the other guy got it. Because I was more interested in what was behind me instead of what was in front of me. Hey, don't look back at past defeats. They'll rob you. Hey, don't look back at all your past successes. I have to tell you, I have to work on myself continuously about that point. It's been my privilege since I was a 16-year-old boy. I've seen revival in my life. I've seen it. I've seen massive crowds and thousands of people saved, and I've watched churches built. I mean miraculous, super churches. But you know what Jeff Owens has to tell Jeff Owens? It's 2017. I can't live in 2010. I can't live in 1989. I've got to live now. I've got to do what God wants me to do now. What I did in the past is not enough. The souls that were saved in the past are not enough. I'm not at this church or that church. I'm at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church of New Bern, North Carolina. And I've got to do what God wants done here. I could claim past victories and past big crowds and past building programs and past massive movements of God. But it's not enough. God's got to do something today. And too many times we let our defeats of the past rob our today. Or we let our victories of the past say, I paid my dues. Folks, nobody's paid their dues. May I say, thirdly, don't look back at your past sacrifices and consider them adequate. Don't be satisfied with your past sacrifices. Preacher, I gave a big offering years ago. I sacrificed my day off a few years back. I remember when I used to do without so others could have. Watch out, folks. We get to thinking, I used to, what I used to be. Be careful looking back too much. You may pacify your conscience a little by looking back, but you'll destroy your now by looking back, claiming yesterday's victories as adequate, letting yesterday's defeats depress you, or yesterday's sacrifices being adequate. I used to give in the Faith Promise program. Did you know something? You know, there are still people around the world dying and going to hell, and we still need people to be faithful to the missions program. I tithed in the past. That's not adequate for today. Matter of fact, God even calls it robbing God. You say, I sacrificed sleep in the past to serve God. Well, I just have to tell you something. What we did in the past was good. But the past does not take the place of the need of sacrifice in the present. So, I say, don't look back at your past sacrifices and think that they're adequate. Don't look back at your past victories and think that's enough. Don't look back at your past defeats and let them discourage you. I also want to warn you, I'd be careful looking back at your old friends too much. You know, the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Now, folks, I think we ought to be kind to everyone, and I think we ought to be friendly toward everyone, but there are some people we just shouldn't spend time with. And I'll tell you something. If you don't get away from some of the people that will pull you down, you'll be history. But look, there are people where you have grown and you say, you know, I'm learning to be kind to my friends that want to party, but I don't party anymore. I'm glad. I want you to do that. But listen, if you're not careful and you start looking back and you start going back to your old friends, that'll ruin you. That'll ruin you. Don't go back to where they are. Say, well, what needs to happen? What we ought to do is hope and pray that they come up to where God wants them. Listen, when I got saved, I had all sorts of lost friends, and they wanted to do all sorts of things that lost people do. Now, I couldn't expect lost people to live like saved people, and I knew that. But I could expect me, a saved person, to live like a saved person. And I wasn't rude to my old friends, but I did need to separate from my old friends because they wanted to go places I couldn't go anymore, and they wanted to do things that I don't do anymore. They want to listen to things that I don't listen anymore. They want to see things that I don't see anymore. Let me warn you, as you're cleaning up and moving toward God, if you get to looking back, you get to looking back at your old friendships, you'll mess yourself up. Don't look back. Don't look back at yesterday's defeats. They'll discourage you. Don't look back at yesterday's victories and let them be adequate for today. Don't look back at yesterday's sacrifices and thinking there's no more sacrifice needed for the God that you serve. And don't look back at your old friends. Don't go back to that lost crowd. Don't go back to that carnal, fleshly. By the way, the Bible is real clear. You and I are not to be best friends with lost people, but we're also to be very cautious about how close we are to saved people that don't want to live right. And we're not to be rude to them, and we're not to be unkind to them, and we're to love them, but we're not to be spending a bunch of casual time with them. Hey, don't, and could I recommend something here? I'd be careful even reliving your past wicked experiences. Some of you say, I'm trying to live clean now. And yeah, and you get all your emotional and private jollies by looking back at what you used to do. Could I say you might not want to entertain yourself with the filth that's in your mind from your past? You may entice yourself back into the hog trough that God tried to salvage you out of. Guard your mind. Guard your mind, Christian. Hey, don't look back. Let me tell you this also. I think you better be real careful looking back at your past heartaches and burdens too much. Looking back at your past heartaches and burdens too much. First of all, let me apply it this way. There's people in this room. It is time for you to forgive someone so you and them can go on and be successful. Yeah, I couldn't tell you in my counseling and in the time that I spend around people. I know people that they were hurt 5 years ago and they still hold a grudge against the person that hurt them. Or 10 years ago. Folks, it's time to forgive and go on. Constantly, I'll meet people that they'll say, "Well, you know, preacher, I'd come out there to the church, but I got to be honest with you. I got hurt in the past, and because I got hurt in the past, I just don't trust preachers anymore." Don't you think it's time to forgive and go on? No, don't you think you think you're going to do it without church? You think you're going to do it without? Believe it or not, you need a man of God in your life. Now, I'm not necessarily recommending me as that man of God. You may need a better man of God than what I am. But I am going to tell you this. You're supposed to have a man of God in your life. You're supposed to have a church in your life. Well, I've been hurt. As a result of being hurt, I'm just going to hesitate. Yeah, you're on a racetrack, and you're sitting out there, and you're whining, and you're licking your wounds when you need to get on the back in the race. Don't look back. See, we can look back and we don't forgive, but we've got to forgive and go on. Are you still licking wounds of a long time ago? Look, whatever happened to you, it's over. Pick up the pieces and go on. Do you know that you don't have to spend the rest of your life in emotional agony about the hurts of your past? I know people that limit themselves so bad, they get hurt. And sincerely, hurt bad. So all they do is think about it, and think about it, and think about it. And when you get a chance, they'll talk about it, and talk about it, and talk about it, and relive it, and relive it, and relive it. Do you like being there? Do you want everybody to feel sorry for you? Do you want God to look down and say, "Oh, you poor baby, you just stay there and stay wounded the rest of your life and be worthless and just lick your wounds and cry about it and feel sorry for yourself and give yourself a pity party. Hey, let's just give you a pity party for the rest of your life. You don't even have to run the race. We'll get you a wheelchair and let somebody stronger than you push you around the track and we'll see if we can get you to the end." There are people that need to get over it. Get over it and grow up, Christian. You say, preacher, are you talking to me? I don't know who I'm talking to. But if God's talking to you, you better let Him ring your bell. I'm just trying to tell you, we look back way too much. We look back and we look back at all the heartaches and all the burdens, and we are capable of going on and being victorious, but we're not willing. You say, why? Because of what's in the past. You drag the dead corpse of your heartache everywhere you go. Okay, I got this thing that hurt me in the past. I got to take it everywhere I go. How about you drop the rope and take off running for God? It's the devil that's fooled you into dragging the dead horse around with you. Forgive and go on. Forgive and go on. Pick up the pieces and go on. We use long time past hurts as our excuse for being lame Christians today. Oh, you'll probably find a pastor that will say to you, that's okay. Well, you happen to have a pastor that cares enough about you that I don't want you just on the track. You ought to be running the race. Hey, you know, let me tell you something. You better take a good look at Daniel. He's in the stands watching you run. Noah is in the stands watching you run. There's some pretty powerful people up there watching you and I run. I think we ought to stand up and run. I said, watch for those past heartaches. Some of you need to just, you let it go. Just let it go. And those are simple words, but somebody here, you need to let it go. Stop using it as a weight. Now, everybody's been hurt. Everybody goes through things. I'm just saying, don't look back. All ahead full. Go forward. Let God give you some new victories. Take some chances. Get out there on the track. Run the race for God. Then, if I could, I want to tell you, it's okay to learn from the past. But let's not let the past destroy our present. Sure, you ought to learn from the past. Sure, you did something dumb. You need to remember the dumb thing that you did so you don't do it again. But God never intended for you to use that dumb thing as an excuse not to go do something good. And we somehow do that. It's all a head full. Have you heard the term, don't cry over spilled milk? That's almost what I wanted to call this sermon. Don't cry over spilled milk. I can't do anything about what's already passed. But I can do something about today. And I can help my tomorrow. You know, I would love for us to be able to change the past. Wouldn't it be great? Wonder if we could just concentrate real hard and change the past. Let's try it. You ready? Nope. You all weren't helping, were you? If you'd all help, maybe we could concentrate and figure out a way to change the past. Let's try it again. You help me? Ready? It just sounds like we have indigestion. I don't... It's not helping. What can I do about yesterday? What can you do about it? You say, preacher, I did something stupid. Welcome to the club. Haven't we all? You say, well, but somebody else did something stupid. Okay. They did it to you this time and you do it to somebody else next time. You say, well, I would never. Watch your arrogance there, cocky Christian. You'd be shocked what you're capable of. But we can't do anything about what's already back there. You know what we have? Now. All ahead full. We're running a race. You say, well, preacher, wonder if I don't listen. What if I keep looking back? Well, if you went to Genesis chapter 19, there's a lady there by the name of, oh, we don't know her name. She's just called Lot's wife. And they were living in the wicked city of Sodom. The wicked sin of sodomy was going on. God said, Lot, you and your family, I'm going to bring you out of the mess. And the angel said to Lot and Lot's wife, we're going forward. Victory is on the horizon. Just don't look back. And Lot said, I'm not looking back. His kids, they said, we're not looking back. And they were heading forward, and all of a sudden, you heard something going on back there. You know why? Lot's wife looked back. And the Bible says she was turned into a pillar of salt. She became the world's largest cowlick. Useless now. Why? She just couldn't listen to the admonition. All head full. Don't look back. Folks, the devil is a thief and he's a robber. He lives in the past. You know, I'm glad the devil's behind me. Because Jesus is out in front. That's where the victory's at. We can't change yesterday, but we can do something about today. And don't you let the devil drag you backwards. Don't look back there. Look, I do think you ought to learn from the past, but listen, you don't have to stare at it. Learn your lesson and turn around and move forward. I loved it. It said there in Hebrews 12, it says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. What's that do? It pulls us back. And the sin which pulls us back, that doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Preachers call and say, preacher, we had a tough time at our church this year. Had a bit of a mess in our church. What do I do? I said, all ahead full, buddy. All ahead full. All ahead full. Folks, with your marriage, you can't fix what's already happened in the past. So what do I do? Give everything going forward. With your kids, you can't fix what's already been broken in the past. All ahead full. You say, I've disappointed the Lord. Okay. But we can't change the past. All ahead full. Let's run the race that is set before us. I call the sermon, Don't Look Back. There have been times in my life where I get to thinking about past failures and things that I faced. And preacher, can I tell you what happens? All of a sudden, I see this man with a whistle around his neck. I see the veins in his neck popping out and him saying, Owen, you should have looked back. You lost because you looked back. You were winning when you were going forward. Don't look back. I've never forgotten it. And you shouldn't forget. Let's go forward for Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never been saved, one of the greatest things you could do is come forward and let Jesus Christ save you. Just ask Jesus to save you. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, if I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I don't know that. I'd like to know I'm going to heaven. I've never been saved. Pray for me. I do not know that I'm born again. Would you raise your hand and I will pray for you? You say, I don't know. I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Who here would say, Preacher, I do know I'm saved. I will raise my hand in testimony to God. I do know that I'm a born again Christian. Will you raise your hand and let us see it? God bless you. You may put those hands down. Who here would say, Pastor, I've been challenged today about this looking back and how unhealthy it can be. God has spoken to my heart and I'm going to let this sermon help me. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? You may put your hand down. We're going to have an altar call in a moment. The pianist will begin to play. We're going to stand to our feet. And when we do, I think there are people out there. You ought to leave your seat. You ought to come down here, get on your knees for a second and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've been looking back. There's somebody here that needs to say, Father, I'm going to stop looking back. I'm going, by your grace and your mercy, I'm going forward. I'm moving ahead. I'm going to grow in my Christian life. You might need this altar. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Do you need to come and say, Lord, I want to go forward. I'm done looking back. I'm not looking at the past defeats anymore and the past hurts anymore. Matter of fact, I think I'm done even convincing myself of all the past victories and how wonderful they are. I want to go forward. Some of you young people, you say, "Preacher, I let the Lord down." Okay, don't look back. Ask Him to forgive you and move forward. Move forward. Hey, and sometimes, remember, running the race, it's not a sin to carry a chair while you're running the race. It's not a sin, it's just not real smart. What is it that you've got going on in your life that just keeps you from serving God? It's not a sin. Or maybe it is a sin. Maybe it's a lifestyle that will destroy you. Run with patience. What's that mean? The running with patience means I'm not giving up. If I get knocked down, I'll get up. If I stumble, I'll run again. If I get cramps in my side while I'm running, I got to stop and catch my breath. I will catch my breath and I'll start running again. Don't look back at your past sacrifices and consider them adequate for today. Don't look back at your past defeats and let them discourage you. Don't look back at past victories and consider them enough to carry you today. Don't look back at old friends. Love them, but don't go back. Don't let past heartaches get you down. Forgive and go on. Forgive it. Forget it and go on. You say, "I can't forget." Then forgive and forget to the best of your ability. By the way, you can forgive far better than what some of you try to. You use the excuse, "Well, I can't forget it, so I can't forgive." Nobody has perfect forgetfulness except for God. But God expects us to forget and go on to whatever degree is humanly possible. Lot's wife, look back. She became stone, useless, unmovable. What a testimony for her kids. What a mess for her spouse. So attached to what was behind, she did not go forward for victory in the future. Thank you, sir. If you remain standing and look right this way, I was speaking to about an 89-year-old man. I'd preached at a conference, and when I was done, he was setting off to the side in the back, and he waved to me. I went over, and I leaned over. He couldn't talk real loud, and he said, "Keep preaching, Brother Owens, keep preaching." I said, "By God's grace, I plan to." He said this. He said, "I was a 15-year-old boy. God called me to preach." He said, "I was so excited." And then he told me this. He said, "Something happened at our church, and just it broke my heart. I got hurt. And I never started doing what God wanted me to do." He said, "Brother Owens, from age 15 to today, I'm 89. He said, "I used that one thing, and it kept me out of God's will all these years." He said, "Tell people not to let hurt stop them, but to go on." I thought, wow, that's a long time to let something stop him from going forward. Folks, let's not let things stop us from going forward. It might not be easy, but let's go forward for Jesus Christ.